Abe, you give me courage. You're older than I am, and I'm still shy, too, so... just thinking as we were singing the songs, the Christmas carols, those are songs that we've sung lots of times. They've been around. I was looking at the one that we were singing, and it was written maybe in the 1600s or 1700s. And we're still singing them. The message is still true. And yet we, every Sunday we look into the Word, get together to look into the Word, and that's quite a bit older yet than any of the songs that we sang. What I'd like to do today, start today, is look at the parables of Jesus. And we might look at some, we'll look at some, we might probably won't look at them all, but that's will be the basis of our study, I guess, to look at the different parables of Jesus. And try to apply them to our lives. So, to begin, what is a parable? What is the definition of a parable? When you think of a parable, what is it? I'll post some questions and that you can think about. What is a parable? And what is the purpose of Jesus using parables to teach when he was in his ministry? What is the purpose of him for using parables? And think about that. And think about when we're interpreting parables, is there anything we should try to avoid or try to not avoid when we're interpreting parables? I might just write those, some of those on the board, and if you have thoughts to those questions, just raise your hand, and get a mic to you. So what is a parable, or the meaning, definition? Definition of a parable to begin with. And the purpose, go ahead, Mike.
A simple definition that I remember from a long time ago is an earthly story with a heavenly meaning.
I might be not be leaving enough space. Don't just keep on. If an earthly, if you can read that, hopefully you can read it well enough to get the grasp. Anybody else?
Also known as a picture story.
Okay, picture story. If at any time you want to talk about any of the others that are on there, just go ahead. The purpose of parables.
Thinking about a purpose of a parable, I would just say we identify with other people, we identify with things, so therefore the purpose of a parable is so that we can identify with the story.
Okay.
Sometimes a story is a more effective teaching tool. I think Jesus, in a lot of cases, had a simple message that he wanted to present. But if he would have said, and he sometimes said, you're a generation of vipers, but if that was the content of his message, and you know, people wouldn't have accepted it. But if they heard a story and see the pattern, sometimes it speaks to you in a different way. And I'm thinking of David, when he had killed, I think, Uriah the Hittite, and the prophet came and told him this story, David said, oh, that fellow, we gotta kill him. We have to take all his things and give it to the widow. And Nathan said, well, you're the man. Well, sometimes a parable or a story, you know, catches us off guard and helps us see something that we wouldn't have seen if the message was presented in a direct way.
So, effective in communicating truth would, or illustrating a truth.
Just thinking about what Mike had mentioned, I think that's true. In a parable, we are invited to judge ourselves. So really, when a parable is said, a story is given, and we can think about it, and we can judge ourselves. And I think that's why it's so effective, because if we tell somebody they're wrong, they can believe it till they meet the next one. But if we are convinced in our own mind that we need to change, God does a deeper work.
I appreciate what you shared. I'm not sure how to put it in a short form there, but that's okay. Anybody else?
Is it fair to say that it doesn't make sense with our intellect mind, but it cuts right into the heart? Or why did Jesus use parables to the Pharisees? Because they knew everything.
So you're thinking, could you just repeat that first, what you said at the very beginning?
Like a parable with a human intellect, it hardly makes sense. But didn't Jesus do that to cut right into a man's heart to convict them?
Okay, anybody else?
Well, I'm feeling really simple here, but Seems every time somebody tells a story, everybody's ears usually perk. Whether it's a child or us adults tend to like stories too. Book sales and movie sales would probably emphasize that quite a bit. So even just for the simple purpose of just catching our attention and making us listen, sometimes you'll see that with a speaker when somebody talks for a long time, and then all of a sudden they throw in a story, everybody kind of sits up a little bit to listen to the story.
Okay. Any others that you'd like to comment on or more comments?
I think the purpose of a parable is to illustrate spiritual truths, and he takes things that we understand to illustrate things that he takes the realm that we understand, the world that we understand, and he gives us a story that way to illustrate something that is deeper or beyond this realm.
Okay, any comments on dangers to avoid when interpreting parables? Or maybe none at all, maybe there is none.
I think one danger with when we read parables is to make, sometimes we have the liberty with a parable to make it say something that it wasn't intended to say.
But that can probably be done with any scripture.
Sometimes just trying to interpret meaning into every little detail of the parable and losing the flow of what the whole parable is saying.
So avoid intense detail of a parable.
I think we need to... The challenge, I think, with parables is that if Jesus said, do not commit adultery, you know, that's pretty clear. But in a parable, you sometimes have to sort out the story from the message, and sometimes that's hard. And I read something, I think we have a book at home that talks about this, and the Jews were very educated, and they spoke. I think Jesus wasn't the only one that spoke in parables. I think that was cultural. The more educated the Jew was, the more references where he'd put in a word or a phrase that meant a whole paragraph, and he would throw it in his discussions and in his stories. And I think when the Jews heard the parables, it made total sense to them, because it was referring to things that they, when Jesus said a certain word, they knew what he was meaning. Whereas we're to be honest, we don't know some of that, and our culture today is so different. So I think we have to, you know, make sure that we're, be cautious that we're separating the truth from the story.
Okay, any others?
I maybe wasn't clear, but I meant to say if we're taking the message out of the parable, we have to make sure that we're not taking, when Jesus, I'm trying to think of an example, when Jesus said, don't cast your pearls before swine. So the moral of the story is not to take your pearls and give them to your pigs. There's another message. So what I'm saying is, when we're trying to get to the bottom, we have to make sure that our point is not the story. Our point is actually what Jesus was trying to say. So the way I'm thinking, we should separate the truth from the story.
Okay, thank you for clarifying that.
The story is the message to get the truth to us.
Okay. Okay. I think the definition of a parable is clear enough. If you would have asked me what the purpose of a parable is, my answers to you would have sounded very similar. But there's a few recorded instances of the disciples asking Jesus, why do you teach in parables? And when I read those, either I'm missing something, or I'm reading it wrong, or the scriptures tell us a different reason for using parables. And I'm going to read that, and like I say, maybe we can clarify it. Maybe I'm just reading it wrong or not understanding it properly, whatever that is. And I don't really think it maybe... We'll just read over it and see where it goes from there. But let's read in... I'll have a volunteer to read Matthew 13... Verses 10 to 15. And then also Luke 8, verses 9 and 10, and Mark 4, 33 and 34. So go ahead, Matt, for now.
What was the complete reference you wanted?
Matthew 13, 10 to 15.
And the disciples came and said to him, why do you speak to them in parables? He answered and said to them, because it has been given to you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it has not been given. For whoever has, to him more will be given, and he will have abundance. But whoever does not have, even what he has, will be taken away from him. Therefore, I speak to them in parables, because seeing they do not see, and hearing they do not hear, nor do they understand.
Luke 8, verses 9 and 10. I think it might all be the same. It might all be the same narrative recorded in different Gospels, but let's read them all anyhow.
Luke 8, verses 9 and 10. And when his disciples asked him what this parable meant, he said, to you it has been given to know the secrets of the kingdom of God, but for others they are in parables, so that seeing they may not see, and hearing they may not understand.
Mark 4, 33 and 34. Any volunteer?
Mark 4:33, and with many such parables he spoke the word to them as they were able to hear it. But without a parable he did not speak to them, and when they were alone, he explained all things to his disciples.
Maybe somebody wants to comment on that. For myself, when I read those instances when they asked him, why do you speak in parables, I don't get the impression that he was telling them that it's an effective teaching tool, or that it, although it seems to be, but that's not what he says. Does anybody care to comment on that?
I would just read a couple other verses. Matthew 13, verse 34 and 35 says, all these things Jesus spoke to the multitude in parables, and without a parable he did not speak to them, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the prophet, saying, I will open my mouth in parables, I will utter things kept secret from the foundations of the world. And I don't have the other reference I was going to read.
Yeah, I guess when you started up with a Bible study and you asked the definition of a parable, my mind went to these verses that Jesus said about those that hear might not hear, and those that seeing might not see. I was also thinking how the beginning of Proverbs starts off. It seems like it has always been this way, that wise men receive more learning from parables than those that... A wise man will hear an increase in learning and an understanding unto wise counsels. And that's a lot of times what parables are. But there is a difference in parables when you read Jesus' parables. Some bring out quite a different meaning than others. And there's also one place where it would testify, I don't know where it is, that Jesus taught the people many things by parables.
Okay. Anyone else?
One thing I've wondered, if parables actually, not their meanings change, but what we take out of them changes depending on our perspective. Like Jesus, when he told the parables initially, it was to crowds of people that don't have the ability to look back on the scriptures and the whole story as a whole as we do now. Like, for instance, when we read a parable, we can, like, I wouldn't say fact check, but we can kind of put that up against the whole New Testament and the whole Old Testament, whereas, and then cross-reference stuff and then pull stuff from different spots, whereas the people he was talking to, they didn't have, well, some of them did, but most of them didn't have scrolls in front of them to just, you know, just bounce ideas. It was really like real time taking the story and trying to process it. So I can understand how it'd be even tougher to get something out of what Jesus was saying, just right off the cuff, per se.
Okay.
Just to tweak us a little bit. In Matthew 13, we read those scriptures in Matthew 13, and after he was done teaching the disciples, he said, "You're blessed to see this." He said, "If people just understand what's happening here, I would heal them." And then he goes on and he says, after all this, he said, he ended that whole thing with another parable. How interesting is that? Like, don't we want to teach like Jesus did? I sure do. And I'm thinking of things like, wow, the old covenant scriptures. If we could just place ourselves in the old covenant scriptures in that era, if we would never have known the new covenant, what we knew today, this would mean a drastic amount different, I think, in my own mind. Because these people, yes, we're looking back. We're actually opening up the scriptures and bouncing things off. Like you can go back to Isaiah chapter 6 or 9 there, where this was quoted from, and we can see the setting and the context, and we know what was happening with the people. We can see the culture. These people, I think one of the things I'm thinking of is Jesus was preparing the apostles and giving them, he said, "You're blessed to see this." Many people wanted to see this, and he was preparing the body. We were praying this morning about the church and for the church, and I can't help but think God in his sovereignty was preparing the church so that the truth that would come to the church would be pure and holy and just and right. And he used the apostles, firstly apostles, and in some ways he was sorting through the masses of people who were listening, and he was giving authority. He eventually gave authority to the apostles, and he wanted to and was making sure that they would teach well and teach accurately. And so I know that that's maybe a side note to the whole thing that we're talking about, but I can't help but think how wisely and how this has built our confidence in our Lord Jesus Christ to see how he taught. And I don't know if there's anybody here who's got to the bottom of all the parables and can say that I understand exactly what he's saying about everything in every parable. And I read them again and again and again, and I'm like, and sometimes I'm just hit with a new thought and a new reality.
Thank you. Go ahead.
Just thinking, the passages we read on the purpose of parables in Matthew, Luke, and Mark there. The first one we read, it seemed like perhaps it could be understood to be saying that he is, in fact, speaking in parables because the people's ears have become dull. They can't understand, so he speaks in parables so that they can. But the last two passages almost seem more to be saying that he speaks deliberately in parables so that they don't understand, which I find puzzling and have for a long time.
So do I.
I'm just thinking just how I see God's kingdom work. If we want to understand parables just so that we understand them, how I understand God is he really doesn't care for us to know. In Timothy it says that there's going to be people that are always learning and never able to arrive at the knowledge of the truth. If we don't listen to parables to be changed rather than to gain knowledge, then I'm not sure that God wants us to understand it even. Because that we will be driven further away from the kingdom. And not just that, we will then apply that to others too, which would drive them further away from the kingdom.
Mike up here.
I agree with what Ivan said, and it was along similar lines. I was thinking of the verse, the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness. And, you know, that's the preaching of the cross. That's not a parable. So I agree. It's our perspective. And I believe the ultimate message is to communicate truth. But maybe if Jesus had came out and, you know, the other thing that someone referred to is these truths, the things that Jesus was presenting were not things that they had heard many times. It was brand new theology in a lot of times. And this was probably, had they understood everything right off the bat, they may have thrown him out of the synagogue, you know, the first week. But I like to think that, you know, as they observed Jesus, these stories started coming to life. The one they heard last year, they could all of a sudden see the meaning behind it. And whereas they weren't prepared to see the meaning the first time, but it you know, as they saw things unfold, and for us today, we can look back and we can see meaning in a lot of those parables.
In context of coming back from the captivity, God was telling Jeremiah in chapter 29, "For I know the thoughts that I have, I think toward you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil." But he goes on to say something interesting, and I think it has to do with the parables. He says, "And you will seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart."
Is it fair to say that a parable hides truth from unbelievers and it reveals truth to the soft-hearted? Is that a fair statement? That's maybe what I'd say, and if anybody has comments on that, go ahead. Andy at the back.
I just found some verses in 1 Corinthians 2, verse 14 to 16 that fit into this. "The natural person does not accept the things of the Spirit of God, for they are folly to him, and he is not able to understand them because they are spiritually discerned. The spiritual person judges all things, but is himself to be judged by no one. For who has understood the mind of the Lord as to instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ."
Thank you. Maybe we'll look at, just to continue to, when you think about the dangers to avoid when interpreting parables, what we would do is we'll turn to a few parables that came to my mind when thinking about that, and turn to Luke chapter 16. Maybe we'll read the volunteer to read the first 9 verses of Luke chapter 16.
Luke 16. He also said to the disciples, "There was a rich man who had a manager, and charges were brought to him that this man was wasting his possessions. And he called him and said to him, 'What is it that I hear about you? Turn in the account of your management, for you can no longer be a manager.' And the manager said to himself, 'What shall I do, since my master is taking the management away from me? I'm not strong enough to dig, and I am ashamed to beg. I've decided what to do, so that when I am removed from the management, people may receive me into their houses.' So summoning his master's debtors one by one, he said to the first, 'How much do you owe my master?' He said, 100 measure of oil. And he said to him, 'Take your bill, sit down quickly and write 50. Then he said to another, 'And how much do you owe?' He said, 100 measures of wheat. And he said to him, 'Take your bill and write 80. The master commended the dishonest manager for his shrewdness, for the sons of this world are more shrewd in dealing with their own generation than the sons of light. And I tell you Make friends for yourselves by means of unrighteous wealth, so that when it fails, they may receive you into the eternal dwellings.
So, thank you. Really, thinking about that parable, can anybody think of anything in that parable that could very easily be taken out of context, or it could be taken as a a wrong meaning of the parable?
Well, I think we can take it as a like a physical or carnal thing, and I don't think that's what it's meant for.
It talks about the Lord commending the unjust steward. So what he did... Sorry, Ivan, go ahead.
I could take out of that that when I'm doing work, I can steal from my boss. But if that's what I take, then my heart is evil to start with. If that's what it is, then I'm just going to get evil out of it.
Thank you. We might go through... So what we've established is what the parable isn't saying. We might go through later, actually, through this parable yet, if we get to it. Might and might not. Let's go to Luke 18 and read the first... Volunteer to read the first 8 verses.
Luke 18. And he told them a parable to the effect that they ought always to pray and not lose heart. He said, in a certain city there was a judge who neither feared God nor respected man. And there was a widow in that city who kept coming to him and saying, give me justice against my adversary. For a while he refused, but afterward he said to himself, though I neither fear God nor respect man, yet because this widow keeps bothering me, I will give her justice so that she will not beat me down by her continual coming. And the Lord said, hear what the unrighteous judge says. And will not God give justice to his elect who cry to him day and night? Will he delay long over them? I tell you, he will give justice to them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on earth?
Thank you. So... is there anything in that parable that could be misinterpreted, I guess?
Well, in this parable, God is compared to an unjust judge. But it would be wrong to say that therefore God is an unjust judge. So that's one way you shouldn't interpret it.
Thank you. Okay, so let's continue reading from 9 to 17. We have the parable of the Pharisee and the tax collector. This is going to be the last one that we'll look at for... thinking what it's not saying, but we'll look at this one yet. Volunteers to read 9 to 17. The front.
He also told this parable to some who trusted in themselves that they were righteous and treated others with contempt. Two men went up into the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and the other a tax collector. The Pharisee, standing by himself, prayed thus, God, I thank you that I am not like other men, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even like this tax collector. I fast twice a week. I give tithes of all that I get. But the tax collector, standing far off, would not even lift up his eyes to heaven, but beat his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, but the one who humbles himself will be exalted. Do you say to verse 17?
Yes.
Now they were bringing even infants to him that he might touch them. And when the disciples saw it, they rebuked them. But Jesus called them to him, saying, Let the children come to me, and do not hinder them, for to such belongs the kingdom of God. Truly I say to you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God like a child shall not enter it.
I'm not sure if those last two verses had any impact on the parable, and it wasn't, it's just quick, but... Okay, so what is this parable not saying? What could we assume from this parable that would be incorrect to assume?
Well, perhaps we could presume that it's okay to be an extortioner and an unjust adulterer, or that we shouldn't fast twice a week or give tithes and so forth.
Or we could assume that God is more pleased with sinners than he is with people who do the things that the Pharisee was doing. It would be incorrect to assume that from that parable, but it could very easily be done. Maybe just quickly at... Let's look at the parable of the wise men and the foolish men in Matthew chapter 7, verses 24 to 27. Just some of these parables actually, I think, establish maybe what we've talked about this morning already, and that's good. Could we have a volunteer to read those three or four verses? Phil over here.
Which verse was that?
24 to 27.
Matthew 7?
Yes.
Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and acts on them will be like a sensible man who built his house on the rock. The rain fell and the rivers rose and the winds blew and pounded that house, yet it didn't collapse because its foundation was on the rock. But everyone who hears these words of mine and doesn't act on them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. The rain fell, the rivers rose, the winds blew and pounded that house, and it collapsed, and its collapse was great.
Thank you. Just to establish, when we look at the parables, to understand them, to get the full meaning, it's a very good start, but it's only a start. It's actually talking about in the parable. It's about talking about doing and not doing. So the wise man and the foolish man both heard. The one did it, and the one did not. The one. Had a solid foundation and the other did not. So next week we'll continue. I'd like to Matthew chapter 5 in Verse 13, it's talking about you're the salt of the earth and you're the light of the world. When you think about, we'll look at that parable. When you think about that, who was Jesus talking to when he said, ye are the salt of the earth, ye are the light of the world? Is he talking to people in general? Is there a certain segment of people he was talking to? And not sure. That's where we'll start and look at that parable, and then we'll go from there.